You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
The time is now.
Time is now.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
You know how appropriate the song says, the time is now, let's get to it. You know, what time really is it? It really is time for us to have this conversation. And frankly, it's not a conversation that everybody necessarily wants to have, but it's a conversation that I believe everybody needs to have. And so I believe we've found the perfect guest to have this conversation with. Let me give you a little idea of some of the things that we're talking about here. Here are some statistics. 78 million baby boomers are facing the caregiving years with their elderly parents, but most are unprepared in every way. Why? A, because we don't talk about this. We turn a blind eye until we have to look at it, et cetera, et cetera. And hence why we're talking about this here on Life Changes with Filippo. Over 65 million Americans are involved with caregiving, yet everyone feels alone. It's very interesting. 5.4 million Americans have Alzheimer's, and millions go undiagnosed for many years as early symptoms are perceived as normal aging. I could go on and on, and I know that we will with our guest, Jacqueline Marcel, when she is going to talk about this and more. She was a television executive, but she barely survived, as she says, as a caregiver to her challenging father and sweet mother, both with Alzheimer's, which went undiagnosed for over a year. The experience compelled her to write Elder Rage. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. It became a Book of the Month Club selection, receiving over 450 five-star Amazon reviews. It's required reading at numerous universities and is being considered for a film. Over 50 prestigious endorsements include Regis Philbin, Lisa Gibbons, John Hopkins Memory Clinic, and the National Adult Day Services Association. As you can see, this goes on and on. They've honored Jacqueline with their media award, and so have many others, probably because they recognize, too, how important this is, and how I believe my understanding is how well she addresses delicately and firmly what needs to be done. So much so that she's taken this to Congress, and she's doing all kinds of things to make it so that this is something that we not only talk about, we learn about, and do something about for the betterment of all. So with that in mind, we're going to be coming back with our guest, Jacqueline Marcel, here on Life Changes with Filippo, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and we've chosen this particular time to have this particular conversation. This is, for many of us, the Monday right after the big Thanksgiving weekend, where many families get together to celebrate, sometimes to not celebrate, but more to argue, maybe sometimes converse, and maybe talk about sometimes what to deal with aging grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. And so this, we thought, was the perfect time because it's also leading into the Jewish holidays and the Christian holidays and so and the New Year. So there are many festivities. And again, what to do with mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa and whoever else that somebody might be taken care of. And, you know, as happens always with our show, I have experiences the week before, which are perfect to talk about and, during the show. And here is yet another example. Life does not let me down when it comes to life changes. Just this week, on the way to celebrating with my mother for Thanksgiving, I visited a friend who on Thanksgiving Day was turning 90 years old. And a friend of mine was there at the same time, and he beat me to it and was singing happy birthday to her. And at the end of the happy birthday song, he ended it with, "and many more." And she chuckled and she said, "thank you." And with a smile in her face, she said, "but hopefully not too many more." And I thought that was actually, in a weird sort of way, that it was beautiful. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be beautiful if more people knew or felt when it was time to go, and maybe even would be more beautiful that they could just go when it was time to go. And then I went and spent my holiday with my mother, who's older. I won't say her age, and had a lot of these kinds of conversations in my head, actually. And I thought about it, and more so than just thinking about her, I was thinking about me. I was thinking, how would I want it to be? Or how can I start preparing so that things will be different? And will I be able to say, okay, it's time for me to go, and then not wake up the next morning and have it be simple and beautiful and gentle and not have to go through some of these things. But in the meantime, it's not like that for everyone. So that's why we have on our show our guest who's written Elder Rage. If you can't imagine what I'm talking about, try this as a second title. Take My Father, Please. How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. Our guest is an elder care as Alzheimer's speaker, author, radio host, and caregiver advocate. So we welcome to Life Changes with Filippo, Jacqueline Marcel. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Isn't this really a perfect time for this conversation?
Yeah. Everybody was with their families over the holiday weekend, and I'm sure saw some warning signs of things to come, and it's pretty rough, and everybody just sweeps it under the carpet because, quote-unquote, well, it's not that bad yet.
Mm.
And that's the problem. They don't, like you said in the intro, it's, people just don't want to deal with it. It's icky. It's not, it's hard. It's, you know, and we're so busy, and who wants to deal with this part of end of life until we have to? And that's the biggest problem. So those of us that are advocates in this field are very much for getting people to wake up and get everything in place, plan what needs to be done, get all your ducks in a row, and then put it away, and hopefully you don't have to deal with it for a long time. But most people wait and then they're until they're in a crisis, and then it's very difficult to think clearly when you're in a crisis of what do we do now?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm getting emotional or what. Yeah, what do we do now?
Yeah. So, you know, what you want to do is the next time you're with your family coming on the holidays coming up, I would say sit down with your parents and or your loved one, whoever it is, and say, you know, I don't know if you know what my wishes are if, you know, I get run over by a herd of elephants tomorrow. Oh, honey, let's not talk about that. Oh, well, you know what? I want you to know that I am an organ donor. Here's my card. I keep it in my wallet, but here's a duplicate of it for you. And I made some lists of some things that so you know where things are and what my wishes are and my legal papers and that kind of thing. And I want you to have, here's a little booklet on that. And how about you guys, Mom and Dad, what are your wishes? Oh, honey, let's not talk. Well, yeah, you know, let's talk about it. Let's get it really figured out so we know. Mom, Dad, you don't want to put that pressure on me. It's going to be so hard on me anyway. And if I know that I'm fulfilling what your wishes are, it's going to take a huge burden off me. So let's go through and determine what it is that you want. We need to get to an elder law attorney because we need to get these documents drawn up. You know, if you're in a coma, I can't just go down to the bank and say, gee, my mom's in a coma. I need to get control of the bank account to pay the mortgage. No. I got to have durable power of attorney in place for your financial decisions that you want. You need to tell me what you want, and for your health decisions. You know, do you want me to keep you alive for, or do you want me to pull the plug? I need to know what your wishes are. So we need to get all that in writing and legally drawn up, and then we can just put it away, and hopefully you both pass at 102 at the same moment in your bed asleep. But just in case that doesn't happen, I'm prepared.
Wow. You know,
and that's how you do it, you know?
That's just as easy as that. And you know, you your monologue there it was so eloquent and sounded so easy. And almost,
well, you need a lot of Kleenex when you do it.
I was just about
it's not
to
a simple
say.
It's easy to say, but you're going to get choked up, and, you know, it's a challenge to do, and particularly if you haven't had a conversation like that ever, or you're a family that doesn't think surface about the weather and, you know, what's going on the latest TV show, and you don't talk about real issues very often. So it's a real challenge to do, but I encourage everybody to take that step and then to start understanding where things for a lot of people and how it goes. You know, most of us have a pretty rough exit. And wouldn't it be nice, like you said, to get to that point and say, I'm ready to go. But I've seen it now in all the years I've been in this now. Everybody clings to life. The vast majority of people, they cling to life. It's in our, just in our structure until the very end. And a few people will say they're ready to go and get to go, but most people say, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, I'm not going, and then something happens, and then they fight to stay alive, and it's a toughie. Boy, oh boy.
You know, actually, I'm glad you said that, and when we come back, I'd love your perspective on it, because I almost feel that the conversation that you had in that little monologue that obviously was well rehearsed and I obviously not said in a vacuum. You've probably said it many times or consulted with people many times through it. So there are words that would work exactly like that, I'm sure. But when we come back, I am curious that if people, from your perspective, are hanging on and don't want to die because they haven't lived or they haven't known what living is or what they were supposed to do as a live person, that it scares them to think they didn't do it and now they don't know, and they don't know how to die. And so I'm wondering if there's a conversation that almost could be had years before on our way to that conversation that you were talking about that says something along the lines of, you know, I don't know how many years we all have left, but what do we all want to do? Never thought about this. You're inspiring me. When we come back, maybe you have something that can inspire me even more on that, and then we can get back to the conversation at hand when we come back with our guest, Jacqueline Marcel.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeitel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, if we've ever talked about life changes on Life Changes, this is certainly Life Changes. And here we are. Are you at wit's end with elder care? Our guest asks, and coping with an elderly loved one who makes unreasonable demands, wanting all of your time, is experiencing memory loss or dementia, is obsessed with ill health but refuses to see the doctor. Boy, have I seen this myself. Well, her answers are in a book that she's written called Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. You are listening now to our guest, Jacqueline Marcel, live. But when we are done, you can not only come back and listen to it again and share it with your friends, you can go to elderrage.com. And get the book, and of course, learn more about our guest and her traveling schedule. And she's got a bulletin and all kinds of stuff going on. So, elderrage.com, ELDERRAGE.com. Jacqueline, before we went to those commercials there, I asked you a question that I never thought of myself before, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on it.
It's so individual, you know. I'm just thinking, my gosh, one of my best friends, her mom's very, very, very devout religious lady, and she's been ill for many, many, many years, but she just doesn't want to go. She just doesn't want to go. She's way into her 90s, and I keep telling my friend she just doesn't want to go spend eternity with your father because he was pretty challenging. And so when she asked, she said, "Mom, you know, are you ready to go?" I said, "Give her permission. Sometimes people just need permission. She has a disabled son that's, you know, older now too." I said, "Give her permission that she can go, that you're going to make sure that Rick is taken care of, and, you know, do it that way. So give her permission. It's okay. She doesn't have to worry." So she's done that. She's done that. Well, then the other day, she says, "Mom, you know, I mean, she just can't. Is there anything else you need me to know or do for you?" Or, you know, she's got three caregivers. She's on hospice for years. It's going on. She says, "Well," and this is a very, very devout Christian lady, and she said, "Well, I just can't die yet." And she goes, "Why?" She goes, "Well, I have to kill more people." What?
What?
What? It was like the weirdest thing. And she said, "Yeah, and I'm going to kill Rick and take him with me." So Susan calls me and she says, "What should I do?" I said, "Well, remove all the knives, alert the caregivers." I mean, you just don't know. I mean, here's the sweetest, loveliest person ever to have something like that come out of their mouth. So you're just floored.
Wow.
So here's somebody like that. And then, you know, I've had numerous aunts that were ready to go, that wanted to go, couldn't go. And, you know, my mom would say for years, you know, "I'm just ready, I'm ready. And so it's so individual, and I think it's rolling with the punches, because one minute they'll say they want to go, the next minute they're clinging to life, you know, they're on hospice, then hospice says they've rallied, they're doing better. It's a roller coaster. So the biggest thing is, as soon as you make a plan, be prepared for a monkey wrench and ready to, you know, take a left turn and go a different direction than what you thought was going to happen, because you just don't know. And the doctors will say, "Oh, you know, 2 months, 3 months. Oh, no, they don't know." Dear friend of mine, another one that I helped her with her parents 5 years ago, said, "Oh, he won't last another, you know, month or two." It's 5 years later and he's doing great. 95. So it's very individual, and as the healthy younger person coping with this, the biggest thing is don't let it ruin your health, because it's constant stress. It's like death lurking over your shoulder. When is it going to happen? What, you know, and you're going through the long goodbye of watching somebody, you know, decline and eventually pass. And so what I always say is, you know, since the beginning of time, everyone who's been lucky enough to have those, their loved ones, live into an older age, those that came before them, it's the universal law. We all know it. You know, you're born, you live, you die. You're going to lose your loved ones. But nothing prepares you for it. Even all the movies we've seen, the books we've read, nothing prepares us until it's our loved one that we're losing. Mm. And then it's a whole other story, a level of appreciation, depth, and sorrow of watching that long goodbye. And I've had cousins say to me, "Oh, so mad at my mother. She dropped dead of a heart attack." One of my cousins, Judy, she said, "Oh, I was so mad at her until I saw what you went through with your parents and that long, long, you know, drawn out situation that was just horrific." So I say now, use every moment, you know, tell your loved ones you love them every day. Be prepared, because it could be the last time you see them or talk to them. Or you could have a long time to go. Nobody knows.
You know, I need to remember that. Be prepared, because it may be the last time you see them. When we come back in our next segment, I want to talk about that. But before that, you know, I also, you made me think of a perspective. I remember I've said so many things to so many people who had lost loved ones. And then I lost my father. And so many people said the stupidest things to me, and yeah. I couldn't believe it. It's like, how insensitive, or what? How could stupid things like that come out of their mouth? And then when I reflected on it, I had said all those same things to people, thinking I was being really sensitive.
Yeah, everybody does. Nobody knows what to say, and you know, we just all have to be sensitive to each other. And I think the best thing you can say to someone going through that is, I can't understand the depth of what you're going through. I know it's very difficult. Is you just tell me what you would like me to do for you. Is there anything I can do?
Mm.
So put it in their frame of mind. You know, would you like me to take you to lunch? Would you like me to sort through some paperwork? Would you like me to clean out the garage? Would you like me to, you know, anything that I can do to help? Because I don't know what to say that would help you feel better. So you tell me what I can do.
Well, I like that. I like that. You know, something else that I like now, I caught this. I don't know if it was there for me to catch or if it was a mistake. I mean, not a mistake, but it was not intentional. However, I bet it was. When I was reading your bio, it just struck me a little funny. Jacqueline Marcel was a television executive. But
yeah, that was my second career. I was a photographer and a cinematographer first, and then I taught at the college level. Then I went into the television business. Then I had to go take care of my parents, so there went the whole career that I had built.
Right.
I thought I was going to be in San Francisco for a few months. I was there for almost a year trying to solve this with my father throwing everybody out of the house, including me. And you know, my dad had always adored me. And here, you know, I'm trying to solve it, trying to figure out what's going on. I'm not directed properly. You know, I'm fairly bright. I'm not shy. I'm in a major metropolitan area of San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm not directed properly. Wow. That's when I finally got it all figured out. I said, why didn't I know this a year ago? I said, I got to write a book. I've never written a book. I've read a book. I'll figure it out. And it just poured out of me, just such a need to get the information out. Everybody says, oh, when are you going to write another book? I loved your book so much. And I said, oh, no. I wrote this to affect change. I didn't write it to write more books, become an author, write more books. This was everything I wish I knew I was going through it. And it's written with so much humor. People laugh and, you know, everybody loves it because it's, you know, it's the Henny Youngman. Or take my father. Boys.
Right,
everything's
right.
Related. Well, because I come from the TV business. So everything's related to famous TV and movie quotes. And so people say, oh, my gosh, I'm laughing and crying on the same page. So I'm honored by it, you know.
That's what I was going to say. You know, here, Jacqueline Marcel was a television executive. But she barely survived as a caregiver to her challenging father and mother. And that's being in the industry, I know how hard it is being a television executive.
And I survived that easy. But take care of my parents. Oh my gosh. You know, it was, and when I lecture at conferences, I'll say, now, how many of you, okay, caregivers, okay, how many of you are professionals? How many of you are family caregivers? How many are both? Okay, would you say this is the hardest thing you've ever done? Both hands go up. Everybody's like, yes!
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really, and you don't even, you know, and all my friends that when I was going through it, they, you know, their eyes would glaze over and roll back in their head because they weren't there yet. So I always say, tell your friends, could you call, you know, if I said, Kathy, can you call me every Monday? Linda, can you call me every Tuesday? And so, because nobody would call all week, and I'd be so mad. And then the weekend, I'd get like 4 or 5 phone calls, and I'd be so infuriated. No, well, I've got to repeat everything again. You get cuckoo. And so if you tell people what you need, you know, you give them a list of what you need. Say, pick something off this list. And if you could call me once a week, you know, somebody on Monday, somebody on Tuesday. So I knew the phone would ring once a day that somebody cared, and I could, you know, go moaning to, but most people can't.
System.
So you need to get into a support group where people are like-minded, and then solutions see start to present themselves, because you say, oh, my father did this. I can't get him to stop eating. I come out in the morning. He's gone through the whole refrigerator, eating everything. Oh, we had that. We had to get a separate little refrigerator and had a lockbox, and we had to lock it in a deadbolt. This happened to me. Had to lock it in a deadbolt in the closet with another little refrigerator. He was starving all the time. We couldn't get mom to eat, and we couldn't get him to stop.
Wow.
So, but solutions start to present themselves when you go and you're around other people going through this.
Yeah.
But you know what now? All my friends are going through it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Jacqueline, I went through this with your parents. I read your book. I've heard you speak. And oh, my gosh, now I'm in it. Now what do I do? I'm like, you know, they're like, I'm rereading your book and underlining because now it's pertinent to them.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not pertinent, nobody wants to talk about that yet.
You know, and so many of us didn't grow up with elders in our home. And in my case, I was blessed with that. And so we get to see part of the aging process. And I know something that you talk about that hopefully we'll get to later is being able to recognize certain signs that are part of the aging process and certain signs that are not, that are either Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. But when we come back, actually, earlier you said that, you know, say goodbye to them as if it might be the last time that you see them, because you never know. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thought. I couldn't agree more. And yet, at the same time, for especially for those that are caregivers, but even for everybody else that is dealing with people that whether they have dementia or you go through difficult times in some of the aging experience with an elderly relative or loved one, but many times you leave in a huff. You leave after having yelled at each other or having yelled at somebody or complained about something because they didn't do this, or you had to go to work and now you had to clean the floor because they did this or that. And you don't leave and you leave hoping that this isn't the last time you see them. On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, you would feel guilty or bad the rest of your life. So when we come back, I'd like to address that, because that's exactly that, the title of your book, and something that you want to prevent is people to take rage out on the elderly. There has got to be another way. And so I believe you have an answer to that that'll work. So when we come back, we're talking to former television executive who barely survived as a caregiver to her parents and author of Elder Rage. Go to elderrage.com to learn more about the book and where you can get it and to learn about our guest. We'll be right back.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and I'm live right now with our guest, Jacqueline Marcel, who's written a book called Elder Rage, Take My Father, Please. And, you know, Jacqueline, I'm thinking, you're inspiring me. I want to rush out and write a book, Take My Child, Please. We're talking about sometimes elders who don't want to die. And I'm thinking of how, as a child, I wanted to live so badly and do so many things. And my father kept saying, you know, the Joan Rivers joke, why don't you be like so-and-so? And, you know, so-and-so had been dead for many years. Well, my father never said that, but he'd tell me to be like the people who did nothing, the kids that would do nothing. And but I'm not like them. I want to do something. So, you know, we have all sides of the stories, don't we? Did I lose you?
I'm here. Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, now we can.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I was going to tell you, when my parents would drive from San Francisco down to Southern California to visit me, and the whole time they'd be there, I'd be focusing on, oh, they're aging so much, and oh, since I saw them a few months ago, and they're really going downhill. The whole week or two that they would be visiting me, I'd be focusing on what was ahead and not living in the moment of enjoying them when they were there. You know what I would give now for them to be able to drive from San Francisco?
Right.
You know what I mean? So when you're going through this, as we all will with an elderly loved one, live in the now. Get everything ready for the future. Get all your ducks in a row, that what you need to have ready. But live in the now. Enjoy them where they are now. My grandmother started talking about dying in her 50s. She lived to 97. You know, it was like, Grammy's dying any minute. Okay. So don't, you can listen to that stuff and go, uh-huh. And they might, or they could go on forever. So you just live in the moment. You know, try to limit your arguments. Walk a mile with their walker. You know, they've got pain from, you know, they got all these different pains. They've been to the gazillion funerals. You know, when you start getting an older age, all your friends and your family starts dying, and you go to funeral after funeral, and Dad would say, everybody's sick or dead or dying. We don't have any place to go. And he'd say, I think we're going to drive down there and be with you next week. I'm like, oh, great, come depress me in person, you know. But you got to walk a mile with their walker of what they're going through and be as compassionate as you can. Take your breaks. Put yourself first so that the stress of it doesn't make you sick. Well, guess what? I didn't put me first. I'm 30-some years younger than Mom and Dad. Nothing's going to happen to me. I was catching every cold. I'm wearing a mask. I'm trying not to get them sick the whole time I'm there. I'm getting sick all the time. I got breast cancer. No history of cancer in our family at all. I'm the first. So, yeah, the stress was so unbelievable, and me not understanding, and people say, oh, honey, you got to take care of yourself. I'm like, yeah. You know, boom, got me. And so you have to get your, when I do my lectures, I say, now, how many haven't had their mammogram in the last year? They're due for mammogram. Not you, sir, but how's your colonoscopy? you've got to make sure you get your physicals and your tests, and you make sure that you're optimizing your nutrition, and you're not eating junk food and processed food and fast food, and you're getting all the vegetables, and you're really eating as healthy as you can, and doing some meditation, taking some long walks, getting rid of that cortisol and adrenaline from all that stress, letting it go out of you. Watch comedies. Forget about watching the, you know, sad stuff.
Put on
the comedies. Get those endorphins going through you.
Here.
Drink plenty of water. Stop drinking. You know, just get yourself into a support group so you have the support there, and then put yourself first. Because if you go down, what's going to happen to your elder?
Mm.
So, yeah. So, yep, got me.
So, yeah, you answered my question, obviously, about how to not take it out on them, and those are some great answers One of the takeaways really is to walk a mile in their walker or in their shoes or whatever it is with mm-hmm. with their pain and all that. And sometimes that's hard to remember. But at the same time, then you took it one step further. If you're not taking it out on them, your stress or your pressure or your anger, and that's a good thing, but you also don't want to keep it in your body, and you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and your needs as well.
Exactly. Exercise. Boy, you know, the studies now all say that exercise is as effective as an antidepressant. So get out and take a brisk walk. Boy, you will feel so good when you get that brisk walk in every day.
Yeah, you know, Jacqueline, so much of this, and maybe because I'm getting older or I'm getting wiser or I'm just looking at things differently than I ever have before based on my interests in this show and that kind of thing, but so much of this, I look at indigenous people and I look at my grandmother and great-grandmother and the way they used to live in the old country, in my case, Italy, but many, many other countries, and even in this one for that matter. And so much of this seems like it wouldn't be as much of an issue if we were maybe more in communities or maybe if families were gathered around each other. It's because you have then your support group and people watching out for one another, and then you have more of the healthier living when you feel like you have to get out and walk around or work in the garden or something. Is it me?
No, that's absolutely right. There used to be multi-generational homes.
Right.
Until, you know, the 50s, and then people started moving away, and people moved. And, oh, it just kills me when people say, oh, we're going to retire to Florida. You know, we're leaving there. And, we're going to get away and do down there. Oh, well, then great. Yeah, you know what's going to happen in 20 years? Your kids are going to be flying to Florida constantly back and forth to take care of you. So stay near your family. don't think you're going to stay healthy, just in case you want to be around as many friends and family who can help you if you do get ill. But yeah, we're not in that multi-generational homes like we used to, like it is many places in Europe, although that's changing as well. So it's developing your circle of friends and family, your extended family that you can rely on, and being in a community where you know that you can get help. It's a whole different world. And, you know, sad to say, but the baby boomers' kids were so spoiled. I don't know if they're going to be there for the baby boomers. Statistically, I'm thinking probably not. Plus, their health, the first generation that's not going to live as long as their parents, they think, because of the obesity epidemic has gone, you know, when I was a kid, 5-10% of the country, now it's 70% of the country is obese or overweight. So everybody's gotten so addicted to all the sugar and all the high fructose corn syrup and all the processed foods, and it's not that everybody's turned into a glutton or a sloth. They've become addicted to these foods, and they've gotten heavier and heavier and heavier. And with that comes illness. So you get the diabetes and the heart disease and the cancer and Alzheimer's. You know, have you heard that Alzheimer's is now being termed type 3 diabetes?
Oh, really?
Isn't that interesting? They are thinking, because such a high percentage of people that get diabetes also will then progress to Alzheimer's. So there's more research going on about this that they believe that could be that because the pancreas secretes insulin, they've also now discovered the brain does too. They didn't know that before. So if the pancreas secreting insulin, because too much sugar, starches, and grains and all this toxic food that genetically modified foods and all these toxins in our foods and everything, and the body's shooting out more insulin, and the cells are becoming insulin resistant, and you become pre-diabetic and then diabetic, well, that could be happening in the brain as well, where the brain cells aren't picking up the glucose and they start to have the dementia could be starting. So that's one of the theories now that could be opening up some new avenues. So it's incumbent on all of us to really take good care of our health. A whole new era for me is just studying this whole nutrition stuff. Who would have thought what's at the end of your fork is more powerful than what's in any pill
that you could take? Isn't that the truth? Who'd have thought? I'll tell you who'd have thought, all the generations before us.
Yeah. You know, they were eating food. They were all farmers, and they lived ripe old ages. They were eating healthy food. But now we're just eating such denatured food. So if you can, I would say eat organic. I won't eat a bite of food that isn't organic. I've gotten to be quite a snob with it. I say, yeah, if you have breast cancer, you'll be this way too. But I say you can either pay now or pay later.
Wow. See,
take your pick.
You're just telling all the stories now. See, this is great because it's not just one story. Your book addresses something that's very important, and actually there are so many details that we're not going to be able to get to, of course. But you talk about what is adult daycare, and you do talk.
Oh,
about
I can't say enough about that. That is the best thing ever. You got to look into, because then they have something to do all day, and you're not. You know, the focus isn't on you, and you get a break, and that's when you can get to a support group.
Well, let me tell you about something to do all day. I think that all the homeless children and all the children that get out of schools early and all that, and they're latchkey kids and have no place to go because their parents are working, they should be where the elders are, who have so much time and love to give to the children and information and wisdom, and we should match those up together, and that's where the daycare should be for the adult and the children.
There are some of those where they have paired, where they have adult daycare and
seriously?
Child daycare, yes, in the same building, and then they cross, you know, to try to teach the children to respect elderly, which
what?
I think there is a lot of lack of that now.
Well, there you go.
So I'm all for that. From your lips, I would like every child daycare to be linked to an adult daycare. I think that would be a phenomenal shift.
I knew you were the one for us to be having this conversation together, and it's been one that I have been wanting to have, not because it's something that I thought would be so much fun, but because I knew it would be important, but it had to be the right person, and you obviously are it. So when we come back, we're going to have a few more minutes together, and whatever inspires us to share with each other in the audience, I would like that, and any last-minute things, like I said, Jacqueline talks about so many other things that we're not going to be able to address in our short time together. Like she said, adult daycare and long-term care insurance and all kinds of things. Obstinate elders who still want to drive, right? Don't get you started, right, Jacqueline?
yeah, so, I could go about 6 hours without notes. I lived it.
So if you want to learn what she learned and put in her book, then you can go to elderrage.com and get her book, which is exactly the same title, ELDERRAGE.com. We'll be back for one more quick segment with Jacqueline Marcel.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. If you're coping with caregiving now or think it is just about to befall you, you just have to read my book so you don't needlessly go through all the pitfalls that I did. It's a tough subject, but I promise laughter out loud as you learn everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. After you learn how I solved the seemingly endless crisis, I include answers to the toughest caregiving questions, tons of resources, and an enlightening chapter by a renowned dementia specialist, A Physician's Guide to Treating Dementia, which makes Elder Rage valuable for everyone from the family to the physician. I am honored that Elder Rage has received 45 prestigious endorsements, including Hugh Downs, Regis Philbin, Dr. Dina Dell, Duke University, and Johns Hopkins Memory Clinic. For more information that may change your life, please log on to elderrage.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
So we're talking to Jacqueline Marcel, and we're talking about elder rage. Actually, we're talking about so, so much more. And at the beginning of the show, Jacqueline, we talked about how parents sometimes don't want to go, and or elders, and I was thinking that it might be because they haven't lived, and kind of now at the end of the show, I'm thinking, you know, there are so many things that we learn at the beginning of our life that if we maybe learn them differently, they would help us towards the end of our life. And there's, I'm sure you could share so much on it, but I just want to share something silly but probably really important that ties into that and something else that you said. So when a child's birthday comes along, or a child does great on a test or something, we celebrate them with colored food. Why does it have to be a cake for a birthday? And why does it have to be colored with all kinds of chemicals? And if maybe we didn't have them as children, maybe we won't want them as elders.
I couldn't agree with you more. I just thought I really, 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 really liked ice cream. I didn't know I was an addict. Mm. It's not until you give it up, till you get forced to, because they say sugar feeds cancer. What?
Yeah.
So I gave it up, and oh my God, I felt like I needed to be a Betty Ford going through a withdrawal from it. Mm. And but once you get to the other side, you're like, my gosh. That was just like, I assume, what a drug addict goes through. And they say it is. It's the same neurotransmitter, the dopamine receptor, and all of that. So, yeah, why do we feed this stuff to kids? Oh, my gosh. So I'm huge. This is just, we could do a couple hours on this topic. It's just terrible what we're doing to children now. And the obesity epidemic in children, 1 out of 5, I read recently now, of kids is, and even a glut of 6-month-olds. Now, they're not driving to Burger King, you know what I mean? So what's happening is, the in vitro, the woman that's pregnant is eating the wrong foods, and, you know, the child's coming out addicted to those things. So so there's a lot we could learn, exactly. You know, I wanted to say something about long-term care insurance. May I?
Yes.
I wish I'd had it on my parents. I didn't even know what it was, anything, but so it's something to look into. If your parents are still healthy and you get together around Christmas and your you know, holiday time's coming up, and just something to consider. And there's all kinds of policies. You want to go with an agent that sells all the different policies. You don't want to call one company, because you want an agent that can listen to your specifics and then direct you to the best type of policy, whether you want a comprehensive policy, which I think is the best, which would cover caregivers to come into the home, as well as if your loved one has to go into skilled nursing or a full dementia care unit. And do you want to buy, you know, 4 years? That's about the average stay in a nursing home. Or do you want a lifetime policy? Or you have so much money you can afford to hire caregivers if this happens to you? But boy, oh boy, it's something to evaluate ahead of time, because once you are sick or you've been diagnosed with any type of dementia, then of course you can't buy the policy.
Right.
So it's something really to look into. I wish I had bought it for my parents, because
It
cost their life savings and most of mine to take care of them. With me there for a year, and then 24/7 care with 2 live-in caregivers for 5 years.
Well, now I see why you went from a television executive behind the camera and in the business to in front of the camera with being on shows like The Today Show, CNN, PBS. Of course, listen to you go.
I'm still so passionate about it. You know, what's so interesting is I've loved all the careers I've had, but this is like a mission. This is like, oh, I can't stop talking about it. And so I just, and now so many people going through it, it's just, you know, exploding in the numbers. So, I get it.
And you're also talking to the people themselves, right? Obviously, you're talking to elders themselves in the process, not just the caregivers.
Yes, you know, I've spoken to groups where, everything from people with mild dementia, you know, from students, and I'll say, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm helping my mom take care of my grandfather, you know, in their 20s, all the way up to this. I was at a book signing recently, and after a lecture I gave, and this elderly lady came up and she bought the, was buying the book, and I said, "Oh, what do you do?" She goes, "I'm a geriatrician for 40 years, but my mother won't listen to me."
Oh, right.
An MD with a specialty in geriatrics whose mother will not listen to her. Yeah. I to her letter, she goes, "Yeah, my mother's 96, and she won't do anything I say." I said, "Oh, my gosh, honey."
Wow.
And she was old herself, you know. So anyway, there, it's from every range and every combination of things, and life is going to throw you so many twists and turns. And I always say, sometimes when life takes us to our knees and nearly destroys us, look for the silver lining. It could be that those experiences are the same lessons that are going to lead you to a higher purpose, a higher passion, a higher reward than you would have known had you not gone through that. So now, instead of looking at the experience that I went through with my parents, oh, if I had the knowledge I have now, boom, I could walk into that house and go boom, 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 boom. I'd know exactly what to do. But I didn't. But if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have written the book. I wouldn't have spoken before 200 legislators on the Florida House of Representatives. I wouldn't have been on this passionate mission of what I'm doing. So, you know, I couldn't see it at the time, I'll tell you that. Somebody said to me, "Oh, this is going to lead you." Oh, please. I don't ever want to think about elder care again, you know, when I was going through it.
Famous last words.
My best friend kept saying, "You got to write a book." I said, "Linda, I am not writing a book." She harped on me, "You've got to write a book."
Read my lips.
All right, I'll write a book already.
Well, you know, that was beautiful, actually, what you just said. And I think that's true. I feel that's true about every moment of our lives. And now I also understand what I was reading when I was reading about you originally, when I thought, really? Because it said, as I was reading about you, "You'll love this riveting true story written with compassion, heart, and humor." And though I haven't had the opportunity to read the book, I get it because I'm listening to you, and that's what you're doing. And
you got to laugh. And I give Dad the credit for that because he had a great sense of humor. So there'd be things where he would say some things would be just off the wall, and I'd just start laughing. You know, so funny, funny things that come out. So you got to grab onto those.
Well, good for you. Thank you for making us think, for making us laugh, and for making us touch on some stuff gently and also sternly that we need to touch on. You were the perfect person to have this conversation with at this time in my life. And I hope and trust for our listeners, who those who want to learn more can go to elderrage.com. And you, Jacqueline, I think you and I need to have a date with other conversations.
Love to, anytime. I'm not much of a talker, though. Gonna have to pry me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I think we'll be just fine, and I look forward to it. In the meantime, thank you, and truly, you know, you're living your mission. I can tell, and we're all better for it, I'm sure.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be on your program. Thanks for having me.
All right. Looking forward to next time. You're welcome. And I thank you to our producer, Dorothy Donahue, and to all of you who are listening here with us for inspiring us to do these kinds of shows and letting us know what you feel about them before and after, and so that we can prepare other great shows just like this one. With that, I am Filippo Vortaggio, saying and reminding you, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Vortaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the